Well, good morning. If you got a Bible, would you please grab it? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So glad you're here to worship with us. We're going to continue a series we started last week. Just in case you weren't here, we're starting a series called Better Together, looking at the church, looking at our role and designed by God to be together. Last week, as you're turning to 1 Corinthians 12, we looked at Acts chapter 2 at the first church when it began, saw what they were devoted to. We recognized and we discussed, or I talked and we didn't really discuss it, about this is the First Baptist Church. We're not just an organization. We're not just a club. We're not an event center. We are a church, and that distinguishes us to be a part and both be a part of and be what God has called us to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, today's sermon title, if you will, is called One Body, Many Parts, and we're going to see kind of how we're wired together. Going to jump right into it. Got a lot to cover, but if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to be in 12 and through 27. I'd like to read our text. It's a little lengthy, but not too bad. And if you don't mind, could we stand, please? Let's stand. Let's read. I'll pray, and then we'll go back through it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is written, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that we view as unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let's pray. Father, a privilege it is yet again to gather here today. And for all of us here today, as we read your word and you're going to walk through your word, I pray, as I ask every week, that your Spirit will move in this place. Change us. Help us not just to come and do church and leave. Help us to remember that we are the church. Thank you for your word, and I pray that your Spirit would move in this place and change us and mold us and guide us and convict us, whatever it takes. So that when we leave here, we're changed and we're different. So as we collectively take a deep breath and exhale and relax and rest in your word and enjoy this time together, may you bless this time. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Scripture talks about the church, and obviously we're going to talk about the body. And I was looking at some things, and I was doing some research, and just really not really just reminding us or myself how amazing the body is that God created, okay? It's just, it blows my mind when we think about how we consist of cells, and those are the building blocks, and the human body is composed, I believe, of trillions of them or whatever. And the body is structured. We have body systems. We've got a circulatory system, an endocrine, immune, I looked these up, by the way, lymphatic, nervous, muscular, reproductive, respiratory, all those things. And then we can talk about organs. We have a brain, a heart, a kidney, a liver, all these things that have functions, and I'm not going to bore you with that stuff. But it's amazing when we look at how amazing the actual body is that Paul uses the body to describe what we are to be. Okay, I'm going to give you some context in just a minute, but we have to understand that there's no significant parts and no insignificant parts. We'll talk about that in just a minute. I read a story that was kind of funny. It was about a pastor, and one of his closest friends was a doctor. And he was kind of a spiritual mentor for him, and they were talking about what parts of the church and things like that. And he was talking to him about, hey, what part of the body do you think is the most important for preaching? And, you know, you had to have, you couldn't do without. And of course, the pastor was like, number one, that's a weird question. Why would you ask? That's weird. But the doctor friend, who's a believer, was making a point. And he said, well, tell me. He goes, I would need my tongue. Obviously, I would need to speak and be able to talk to proclaim the word of God to everybody. Yeah, that's true. He said, but you know that you would have to have that, absolutely. He says, but what else? And this is kind of to my pen illustration. And he said, well, I would need my brain so I could think and do those things. He goes, yeah. He said, you know what else you would need? He said, what? He goes, your big toe. He goes, that's gross and weird. If you're not a foot person, sorry. But he said, what are you talking? He goes, well, you couldn't even stand if you didn't have your big toe, which I think is a myth, by the way. I don't have any clues on that. But he said, for you to stand, he said, he was trying to make this point of, yes, you got to have your brain, you got to have your tongue, you got to have all these things. But even the insignificant toe or the spring, I believe, was it Colby that got that right? Colby nailed that? And poor Jocelyn, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to pick on you. I'm sorry about that. She was very frustrated. She couldn't get it to work. It takes everything, everybody. There is nothing more significant and no one insignificant. We are all significant in the body of Christ. Now, as we look at this text, as we look at 1 Corinthians 12, let me kind of framework it out for you. The church in Corinth was messed up. Problems, issues. They were struggling, and Paul, as he writes this lengthy letter, is trying to correct and to remind them. They were not portraying the image that had designed. They were carnal, they were immature, they were immoral, they were struggling with selfishness and pride, they were following false teachings, they were very divisive, they even tried to bring human philosophies into their church, they had little cliques and they followed their certain spiritual tolerated sin, they overindulged in food, alcohol, and sex. They even dabbled in pagan rituals, and the result of the church in Corinth was one of disunity, chaos, scrambling to try to figure things out and try to see how they were supposed to be. And Paul is writing this letter. If you want to press this, we see this chaos and we see this lack of unity. And just to make it very clear, we have to understand, if you read all of chapter 12, if you read before what we started, it's the struggle with spiritual gifts. Some were saying, well, I want the spiritual gift. They can talk in tongues. Well, they can prophesy. Well, they can do this. And there were some that were lording it over others because they're more spiritual and I'm better than you because I can do this. And there were others that felt inferior. Well, I'm not as good and I'm not as spiritual. I'm not as strong of a Christian. And it began to become, rather than what God had designed it to be, it became a wedge that began to cause divisions and chaos and in the local fellowship. And, well, if you wanted to be as important to the church, then you need to be able to do what I could do. And God has blessed me, and this and this and that, and chaos. Paul, understanding this, he says, you know, it's not about trying to, in this context, it's seeking showy, public, speaking gifts. And this chaos would understand that some felt inferior. Some felt less than out of comparisons because they were different or not like somebody sitting next to them. This is why Paul writes this. He's going to describe the church as a body, and it's going to function, and everybody has a role. Now in 12 through 14, let's walk through our scripture together. 12 through 14, I want to look at this first. He says, just as a body, the one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given to the one Spirit. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Do you see the unity here? In light of that context of divisions and chaos, we see this one body, many parts, and we see that there is emphasis on unity. You saw the word one several times. One body, one Spirit. We are one church. The body and unity is a major theme. And if you're a note taker, do this on your own. But Ephesians 4, Galatians 3, and Romans 10 are all literally pounding that unity. We're better together. It's not anything that would divide us is wrong. It's not of God. It's about being together. John chapter 17, I made a note here just so I wouldn't forget. Do you remember John 17? He prays for his disciples, and then later he prays for us, the followers of Jesus, those that would come from the ministry of his disciples. That's us. He says, Father, just as me and you, as we are closeness, just as we are better together, just as we are connected, I want them to be that way. Now, every time I read John 17, go read that on your own, not today if you get bored. Read it on your own. I think of when Jesus, I'm paraphrasing, when Jesus looks to the heavens and he says, Father, think of the unity. Think of the closeness that the Trinity, the Son and the Father have. And he says, just as we have it, I want these guys to have it, the church to have it. I want those who would come after the disciples' ministry to have a togetherness, a unity, and to realize, friends, that we're better together. Paul in Romans talks about what it means to be a functioning member, a member of the church. And the thing I want us to catch right up front in all center, that we that we are one body, parts, and every part, and we form. And in verse 13, we're all baptized in one spirit, and then you see the divisions. I don't care if you're Jew or Gentile, whether you are slave or free. You can go back and read Colossians, I believe it's Colossians chapter 3, when Paul was slamming that in the church in Colossae. Anything, I don't care what you have, your last name, your skin color, your bank account, your background, whoever you think you are or are not, none of that matters in Christ. Do you agree with that? You don't have to answer, but I'm going to ask you if you agree with that. That it doesn't matter your skin color, background, creed, whatever you think you are or how much money you got or what you say or do or your career. When we are in Christ, the ground is level at the cross. We are one in Christ, and that's why Paul says this. He just gives a couple, Jew, Gentile, slave, free. He could have gone on and on and on. We are all functioning members. We all have a role. And that's the point as we get into verse 15, that we need each other. And I need you to hear this, church. No matter what you think or don't think about yourself, you are vital, you are important, and you are significant, not only because God made you and God loves you, but because you have a role within the body. Now look at verse 15 through 19. We see the body parts and all this kind of stuff about comparisons and saying, I'm not this, I'm not that. I hope that makes sense as we saw earlier in the church about how they were comparing and saying you need to be this or that. 15 says, now if the foot should say, well, I'm not the hand, so I don't belong to the body. Well, I'm not like so-and-so. I can't do what they do. I'm not wired that way. I guess I don't belong to the church. Now, let me just say this. Hear me. I'm going to get passionate and I'm going to get spitting and stuff, but that's okay. There are people sometimes that I come across with, maybe not you, that they don't feel important. And they're, as they come walk in the doors of a church like this, and all of a sudden they realize what they are a part of, something grander, something glorious, something God-sized, if you will. And it's attractive because it's what God wants it to be. And as we gather in this beautiful church and understand, we come as a church. Church is not a location. We talked about it last week. As we come as the body of Christ, gathering under the name of Jesus, we don't need to look around and say, well, I'm not a hand. I guess I don't have a part. Verse 16 says, well, if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I belong to the body. 17 says, what if the whole body were an eye? It's kind of weird. I'm just going to throw it out there. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And you can see the senses being told here. Verse 18 says, but in fact, God has placed all the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there's one body, many parts. Now, I'm not going to chase a lot of rabbits about one giant nose and all. I mean, there's a lot of creepy images I can have here. But I want you to see the unity. I want you to diversity. Now look at the church around here this morning. There's diversity. There's different people. You came from different places and homes and backgrounds and this, and there's diversity, and we all come, Nobody looked around, by the way, because that's awkward. Thank y'all for not doing that. But we come together and we are diverse and we come under the lordship of Jesus and we have different roles in different places, but we are under the authority of Jesus. And as you look at this, I love the simplicity here. There's no comparisons. There's not to be a coveting of saying, I want to be this. I wish I was this. I wish I was that. And they realize they're wired and built in a special way. Sometimes we want to be different things, don't we? I'm not talking about just arms, legs, hands, and feet. Sometimes we look around and think we should do other things. I have a nephew that's, his name's Reese, and he's about to graduate from Andrews High School, and when he was little, he played youth football. And I may have shared the story. If I did, just indulge me for a minute. He wanted to play youth football, and he was a pretty big kid. He's still big. He's 6'3", 290. He wanted to be a running back. He wanted to carry the ball, but they had a rule where if you weighed a certain limit, you can't carry the ball, so we don't have kids getting concussions and hurt in the hospital. So he was told he had to be a lineman. And nobody, he didn't want to be a lineman. He wants to run with the ball. I can run. And it got so kind of almost borderline creepy. All of a sudden, my brother and them realized when they were, he wouldn't finish any food at dinner. And finally, they're like, are you not feeling, what's going on? This is when he was little. He says, no, but you know, if I get under such and such weight, I can start carrying the ball at practice. And my brother's like, stop, eat your food. He wasn't built. He's got tree trunks for legs. He's 6'3", 290. He just signed to play football at Air Force Academy. And he's built to be a lineman. What if his whole life's like, I want to be a quarterback. I want to be a receiver. You can't because you're 6'3", 290. And sometimes in our lives, we can go, and bear with me on this, we can go through church and are thinking, man, I just wish I could be like so-and-so. I want to be this. I wish I had this gift. I wish I could serve this way. And we miss out on what we are because of what we wish we could be. There's a book called I Am a Church Member by Tom Rainier. I have a picture of it on the screen. It's a book that I walk through. Anybody who's interested in joining the church, it's a simple book I walk through. Very simple, very small, six chapters. One of the things he talks about in chapter, it's a functioning member, somebody who's a functioning member of the church that finds steps in and finds a role. But listen to what he says. He says, because we are all different, with different gifts and abilities, we will function differently, excuse me, from other members. A true and biblical church member, part of the body, will be a functioning member. One of the ongoing questions you should be asking yourself and God in prayer is this: how can I best serve my church? And when he uses language of member, part, Paul says both. It's the idea of stepping into it. And this is what we walk through any time somebody wants to step in to be a member. Number one, you don't get a special card and you're not, membership has its privileges, part of a club. It's not how it works. Try to make sure that there's an understanding of when you become a member, you are a member of the body and God has wired you special. God has equipped you in ways you maybe don't even know yet. And for this, for the body, for the church to function, we need you. We need your gifts. We need your abilities. We need whatever God has made special. And I want you to see something in verse 18. Because there's sometimes we think, well, I don't have a role, I'm not specially gifted, I don't have anything up. Look at verse 18. I want you to see the sovereignty in God in all this. Verse 18 says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body. Ready for this? Every one of them. Every one of them. Christ, if you are a born-again Christian, that you've given your life over to Jesus, you are part of the every one of them. Just as he wanted them to be. Do you know why I love verse 18? Because it's one of those, I say it a lot, and I'm deep breath, relax. I don't have to look across and compare and think, I wish I could do what they're doing. wish I could sing or pray or teach or read or serve like they do. I wish I could do what they do. And the conversations that I have with people sometimes, and it's those honest, real things where sometimes they're not really sure, and they'll almost come to me and say things like, well, if you kind of find a role or if there's a need, sometimes it's frustrating because I won't say anything. I won't tell them. I'm like, well, that's not my place to tell you. And it's things like verse 18, it says, but I believe that Scripture teaches everyone under the name of Jesus has been divinely ordained to be placed in the body, to be a functioning part of the body. That's the sovereignty. We are often empowered. Sometimes later we don't even realize that we are empowered in those abilities and gifts that he's given us. That encourages me because I spent a lot of time in my life not really knowing what, and I put a little pause button in my notes here because I'm just going to share my heart with you, and this may sting a little bit, but I think sometimes we have adults, even kids sometimes, that we go our whole lives and we untap what God has designed for us. And you know why? Here's why. I'm glad you asked. It's my story. It's because I was too scared. Because what I did is I put these self-imposed comfort zones and regulations on myself because I said, you know what, I'm not built that way, God. You didn't build me that way. I've never been designed to talk in front of people or to pray publicly or to sing. I'm just listing some things here. But I can't tell how many conversations I've had with people that once they stepped out of those comfort zones and like this little line here that I wish I could say I placed that on purpose. I didn't. But this little line of comfort zones, they live on this side of it, but it's out here where God operates. I believe it with all my heart that there are people that love Jesus, that want to be, but they miss out. Hear me on this. They miss out, and the body misses out on what God desires because of self-imposed regulations. Well, I can't do that. You know what I've heard before? And that I've said? I've never done that before. I don't know if I could. I've never done that before. Verse 18 blesses me, and I want, if you hear nothing else today, I just want you to understand that if you are part of the body, and if you're visiting, you're part of the church, wherever your church home is, that God has wired everybody. Travis nailed it down in his prayer in Ecclesiastes, that we're better together, we're stronger together, and every one of us has a functioning role that God has specifically, divinely, and uniquely placed you within a fellowship of believers to be a functioning member of the body. I was, in light of those things where we like to make those self-imposed regulations and make those calls, I read a story this week that was just kind of about that, how we like to make the call sometimes. I did that so many times in my life. I just wish I could tell you more about it, but I read a story. It was about a baseball game, and there was two coaches, obviously, and there was an umpire that was there, and this guy cracked one, and he hit all the way down left field. The guy from third was coming in, third. The left fielder had a cannon of an arm, threw it all the way in. It was a play at the plate, slid in, dirt everywhere. And the defensive coach is yelling what? What? Help me out. Man, I had to do questions and everything. He yelled out. The guy who's the offensive guy whose batter hit a nice one and he brought the guy in. What is he yelling? As the dust cleared, the coaches are yelling, and it happened just like this. The umpire takes his help. I don't recommend doing this, but he took his thing. He goes, he ain't nothing until I call it. Woo! How about that one? Don't do that if you're umpiring or reffing or even anything. That's a cool, I love that story for many things, but the whole point is that we love to have our input. Well, he's out, he's safe, he's this, you're that, I'm this. I can't do. It's not nothing, bad language, I know. It ain't nothing until God says it is. Answer this question for yourself. When you step into the body, when you step into the church fellowship, we believe in that God tells us that we are better together. We are wired together, not just to come and listen. You don't even have to be a Christian to come listen to a sermon once a week. That's nothing special about that. You can come and listen and leave, but to be a functioning member of the body of Christ means we have a role. And they're not always up front. Some of them are springs in the pens that we need to function. And I wonder if each one of us can, in our own way, could just ask the Lord to say, God, would you show me? Not my self-imposed, what I think I can or can't do or I've never done before, but what am I supposed to be as I step into the fellowship? The pastor keeps telling us we're better together. The pastor keeps telling us that I have a role. I'm a part of the body, an arm, a leg, a hand, a foot. We can't all be arms. We can't all be eyes. I've got to have a role. He even said, verse 18, that God put it on, you did it on purpose. You divinely have a place for me in this fellowship. So you have to answer that question. What's your role? What's your place? And it may not be an up front and center. It may be a back kind of thing. And they're both just as important. Of how do we serve the fellowship? How do we serve the body? And I love those conversations. And I'd love to pray with you and walk with you. If there's anybody here that's kind of trying to navigate, trying to figure this thing out. But hey, hear me on this. I'm not going to tell you. I may tell you, you read verse 18, said, God wired you that way. Go ask him. Listen to him. Look at 24. We need each other. I'll keep going. The eye cannot say to the hand, this is when we need each other. Listen to this. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker, they're indispensable. They're vital. The parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lack. Quickly, in these verses, as Christians filled with the Holy Spirit, we have different roles, different gifts, the same goal. We cannot accomplish the goal of establishing his kingdom on this earth and reaching community, reaching the greater parts of the world, sharing the gospel. We cannot do it by ourselves. We cannot do it if everybody's an arm, a leg, a hand, a foot. We need everybody to do their part, and it's absolutely necessary. Hear me out. Does anybody in this room, don't raise your hand, wants to be wanted, right? Everybody wants to be picked for a team. Nobody wants to be excluded, and I can't think of a better, I usually can come up with words. I can't think of a better description or a desire or for us to say, I got a place, man. I added the man. I got a place. I have a role. I am important. I am, yes, fearfully and wonderfully made, as the Psalms tell us, but I also have a role. I'm a part of something bigger. I'm on the tip. It's cliche. I'm on God's something to do. I've got this job. I've got this job. And we cannot, hear me on this. We're going to talk later about this. We cannot do what he wants us to do. We can't. We can't, we can't, we can't. We will not accomplish what First Baptist Church Olton is designed to do fully without everybody. We need each other. And he slams it home in verse 25. He says, there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equally concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you have the body of Christ in each part of you, excuse me, each one of you as its part. Seed, I'm happy for you. When you're hurting, I'm hurting. When you're crying, I'm crying. Now, hear me on this. The reason it gets a little bit quiet in the room, and I need everybody, I need stay with me, I'm almost done. The reason it gets a little quiet is because this is the part where it gets personal. It's one thing to talk as the crazy preacher to talk about, you got to roll. Everybody, come on. We got to roll. We do hear that and pray through that. But I can tell you, you want to be blessed, and I've seen it, and I said it last week, that part of the reason, sometimes we learn from the things we struggle, and sometimes God grows us. Hear this. He grows us through what we are doing well. I have been blessed beyond measure to see, hear me on this, to see our church, I'm going to call it doing life and doing this together. I've seen those that are hurting. I've seen those that are suffering. And I've seen those that have come alongside and they have wept with them. They have cried with them. They have walked with them. Because you know what they say or what they live? They don't say it. They're living this and saying, when you hurt, I hurt. And there's a lot of hurt in this life. What I love to see, and I love it when I'm like I get to the hospitals and there's already like 15 people that have gone to be there. I love that. I love it when I'm the last one there. Because people love them, they're caring, saying, that's my friend, that's my neighbor, that's my Sunday school teacher, that's my friend, that's so-and-so, and has nobody else, but I'm gonna. And I see people lock arms and love and remember this scripture and then say, hey, if there's a part that is hurting, I rejoice with you. I suffer with you. When you hurt, I hurt. And it blesses me. It blesses me to look out and see those that are just putting their arms around people, crying with them, praying with them, texting people, love you, care about you. You're not alone. I'm with you. You're not forgotten. And this is my prayer where I just want the Holy Spirit to be so thick in this room when it comes to this, because I said, I think we're doing great with this, but God can grow us in this. And this is when you see the arms, the legs, the hands, the feet. We're doing a job. We're functioning as a body, serving the community of Olton and reaching the world with the gospel. But we're also realizing, as Travis prayed, that we're not wired to do this alone, because we're family. We're a body. And it blesses my soul to see it. We belong together. That's what community is all about. We belong together. We are better together. We cannot function without each other. We have different roles and gifts and abilities. And I ask, my prayer today is that you would put yourself against this text and say, regardless of what the crazy preacher said, how do I step in? How do I step in to be a functioning member of the body of Christ? And I welcome those conversations. I've seen seven, going on 8 years, I've seen closeness, and I've seen the Lord try to use things to pull people apart, pull us apart. What Paul says in Romans 12 when he says, we rejoice with those who rejoice, we mourn with those who mourn, and we come together in this fallen world in pain and struggles, and we realize that we are not meant to do this alone. And it breaks my heart to think, and I'm going to be done, it breaks my heart to think that if there's somebody in this fellowship, somebody in this body that doesn't have that. And that is why I get a little bit fiery, but also a little bit emotional of how we approach the body and step into it in those areas of comfort. It may not just be for you. It may be somebody who needs that. I left a hospital one time in the last year, so I'll leave out of it, but talking to an individual, and as I was coming back, the last thing as I was about to walk out was the last thing this individual said, because I don't know how I would make it without my church family. Does that resonate with you when you think, I cannot make it without them? Because I think that's a pretty telling question. I've done a lot of my life where I thought I could function without the church family. And I mean it when I say this. Anybody can come and listen. We can listen and learn. But maybe God's beginning to press us a little bit, because I feel like God has some great things in store. I really believe with all my heart that God has some great things in store for us. And we look around and think, I can't do this by myself. I need you. I need you. You need me. And we're going to walk arm in arm. We're going to cry together. We're going to weep together. We're going to rejoice together. We're going to begin to reach the lost and ultimately we're going to be the church. And we're going to begin to step out of those comfort areas and no more drawing circles around ourselves saying, I've never done that. I can't do that. We're going to step out in those areas where if God doesn't come through, it's not going to happen. And we're going to find ourselves being what he's designed us to be. And some of us are going to find ourselves doing things or behind the scenes or whatever, and we're going to find ourselves doing things that we've never done, and all of a sudden we're like, that must be a God thing. And some of us are going to miss it. Some of us, others are going to miss the blessing because of us. And that's my heart today. We need each other. This building, though, is the church. We are the church. And for us to do what he wants us to do, we're better together. Let's bow for prayer. Take a deep breath, relax. We're just going to sing and we're going to have our hymn of invitation. But I just want you to take a deep breath and answer some of the questions in your own heart for God speaking to you. Travis is going to lead us in just a minute, and I'll be here if I could pray for you. But let the Holy Spirit speak to you when it comes to this fellowship, when it comes to being a functioning member of this body or whatever church you're a part of if you're visiting. I claim verse 18. I believe that he's done it specifically and divinely, every one of us. You pray, and then we're going to stand and sing.